September's a busy month. We're starting up everything.
And your senior has the barbecue too.
We're packing up. They were going for somewhere 2 to 4, and then from 4 to 9. So they had 2 more hours. So they had to, they left. I think they were leaving early for us, so quarter after 4. They would be in the other 2. And then from 2 to 4, and then they were going somewhere to the critical care in the jail. I think they have it down with science. Like they had it done in 10 minutes.
They knew what they were doing.
Some big turkey supper.
Good morning, everyone, on this beautiful Sunday. I would just like to welcome everybody. My name is Kim Robinson. I just want to start with just a quick announcement. Yesterday, someone bought cards from... You found them? Okay, we got it. Okay, we found the owner. Just a few announcements. First off, for the Agape Kids Community Kitchen, for the month of September, we are collecting granola bars. As always, they can be dropped at the back. Our sixth annual basket draw is live. We have two baskets that are worth $500 each. Tickets are available at the back. We are still looking for donations if you're interested. The fall bus trip has been scheduled for November 1st. We leave at 8:30 and are back at 4:30. Tickets are $30 per person. The next event that we have coming up is the annual Craft and Art Winter Wonderland, and that is scheduled for November 15th. Vendors are needed. Contact Carolyn if you're interested. There is a fundraiser for the UCW Outaouais region. Tickets to Ontario's Little Theater. Preview of Jonas and Barry in the Home. Tickets are $25. All tickets go to the region UCW. If you're interested, see Kim. Starting September 16th, our KSP crafters are back from 10 to 2. For Sunday school, there will be no Sunday school on September 21st. And as Reverend Aaron mentioned last week, the September 20th Ottawa Red Blacks Faith Day kicks off at 3 p.m. With the Redbacks versus the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Contact Reverend Aaron for more information on how to reserve a seat. We are still looking for weeders. If anybody has a few minutes that they could come and help with the weeding, it would be greatly appreciated. Now, I've lost Kim. There she is. Kim has a few announcements.
Very good morning, everyone. I, too, am Kim. Yesterday we had our Grand Bazaar, and I want to say thank you, thank you, and thank you. Thank you for the ones who've donated items for sale, be it the Baker Deli, the jewelry, or the nearly new or attic treasures. Thank you for the ones who volunteered those tables, and thank you for everyone who came out and supported purchasing through our tables and the local vendors we had. We had a rush, we had several rushes. We had great competition yesterday. I think we one of the first starters years ago to have vendors, and now everyone is having vendors, which is great for our local community. But it's just like road trips back and forth. But we appreciate it. We do still have some meal plans at the back. So if you want some take-home homemade lunches and dinners and some edibles for the morning, please stop by and see the ladies. So, I know most of you are anxious to hear how much we made yesterday. Right now, our total is at $1,500. Yes. And that's just the sale. We did bring in $200 from vendor fees. So, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll see you at the back after church.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It's good to see you. So just about the Red Blacks game, the Faith Day is a game between the Red Blacks and the Blue Bombers. And then after the game, some of the players have panelists, or like they've decided to be a panelist and talk about their faith. And it's just something to listen to and hear what they have to say. And how their faith has impacted their game, their lives, that kind of thing. It could be interesting. We have a deal on the tickets, but I don't have anyone who said, hey, I want to go. And I need to know because the game is next Saturday. So I need to know by, like, Tuesday at the latest. if anyone wants to go. So if you do, please come find me. And if you have questions, please come find me. You can find accessible seats there too if you want. And if not, it's not a big deal. Yeah. Let's ground ourselves as we begin this time of worship. We breathe in and out. We take a moment to remember that we're situated on the traditional lands of the Unkwehonwe. And we acknowledge and we give thanks for the enduring presence of First Nations, Métis, and Inuit people on this land that we call Canada. And as a community of faith, we are committed to moving forward in the spirit of reconciliation and respect. Let's call each other to worship. We come to worship, sharing stories of our grief, confessing the ways we resist God's dream, telling the truth about our doubt, seeking God's grace and God's hope, a vision that's greater than we can imagine, and the courage to follow in Jesus' way. And so we come to worship. And as we do, we remember that we are partners and participants in the work of God. Let's join together in prayer. Peaceful God, in a world of conflict and confusion, soothe us with your eternal love. Slow us from the suspicion that fosters distrust and ill will. Inspire us with your compassionate wisdom. When we are limited by prejudice and judgment, heal us with your abundant love. Awaken us to discover your presence in everyone we encounter. Nurture us with your accepting grace. As possibilities and opportunities challenge us, lead us with your courageous love.
Open our hearts
to the places and people where we can make a difference. Lead us with your enduring strength. Watch over us, O God, and guide us in your way. Help us to live following the footsteps of Christ, that we may more constantly, more generously love all your people. Amen. I invite you to join together and sing, Spirit, Open My Heart. We turn to God now with our prayer of confession, knowing that God waits for us with that joy of forgiveness. Let's pray. God of all, in the beginning you created. In the beginning you created all things. In the beginning you looked at everything and you said, "This is good." How do you feel about it now? How do you feel about what we have done in our desire to grow, to constantly move forward? How do you feel about the damage we do, the damage we can't seem to keep ourselves from doing, to the small part of your creation, to the land, the earth, the air, the water, and all the life it sustains? Declare your word into our hearts, our minds, our lives, so that we might feel it, so that we might live it, and so that we might be good once again. Amen. O beloved of God, know that God's love meets our lament. God's grace meets our guilt. God's life meets our longing. And God holds nothing against us. God surrounds us with care and compassion. This is good news. God gives us a fresh start. Thanks be to God. Let's join in the first two verses of Touch the Earth Lightly. Does anyone want to join me up here, or are we just too old and too cool for that? Because I can do this from here, and we can all participate. You'll come? Oh, with a little. Okay. But it is going to be everyone participating. So as you like. So I have a question for us, and I think I know the answer. Have you ever had a day where things have just gone sideways?
Yes.
Yeah. No matter what you do, you try to get things back on track, you try and make yourself feel better, but it's just nothing's going right. We've had those days? Yeah. I wanted to find a book and read it for you, but in my searching, I couldn't get it, and my tablet was not cooperating, so I couldn't even download it. But it's a children's book, and it's one that just sort of describes those horrible days, the terrible days, the ones where we try and try and try, and nothing seems to go right. And in the next few weeks, in the last couple weeks, we've read from the book of Jeremiah. We've talked a little bit about Jeremiah, about how he's a prophet and shares what God wanted the people of Israel, people of Judah, to hear. He didn't have some nice stories to share because it was a really hard time. There were armies coming through, conquering the land, and he just didn't have good words to share. And at some parts, all he does is cry. And it's hard to find hope in those moments. But we've had those days, right? Maybe not with the armies coming through. Hopefully we haven't had those days. Some of us might have. But we've had days where things just don't go right and all we can do is cry. All we can do is turn to God and say, God, why is it like this? God, is there any hope? And the thing is, God answers us sometimes. Sometimes it's really, really quietly. Sometimes it's a whisper. Sometimes God puts something in our lives, but we might need a magnifying glass to find it. That little seed of hope. But those things are there, even in those bad days. And we know that we've gotten through all our bad days so far. And so we know God is there and walks with us and journeys with us in those bad days, and God gives us those moments of hope. And so in those bad days, we sort of sit there and go, God, we know you'll be with us in this one too. And that's kind of what Jeremiah does. And so that's just a story I want to leave with you as we move forward into the rest of the service. But I also want to lead us in a prayer. And it's a repeat after me prayer. So, dear God, thank you for bringing hope. Even when things feel broken. Help us see your love growing in surprising places. Amen. All right. Thank you. And we'll keep on singing, Touch the Earth Lightly.
Holy God, we often turn to our sacred stories for comfort, and it can be jarring and disorienting when they don't. Open our hearts to your wisdom as we read these scriptures, and may they encourage us when we encounter times and places of devastation. Amen. Our first focus lesson is Psalm 14, and it has a sung response. The foolish have spoken in their heart and said, there is no God.
They are corrupt. They do abominable things. There is no one who does what is good.
God looks down from heaven upon us all to see if any are wise and seek after God. Have they no knowledge, all those who do evil?
They
take not our own people and so much bread, and do not pray to God.
But see, they will tremble with fear, for God is on the side of the righteous. Oh, that deliverance for God's people would come forth from Zion.
When God restores the fortunes of the people, then shall Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad.
Our second scripture is from Jeremiah 4, verses 11 and 12, and 22 to 28. At that time, the people of Jerusalem will be told, "A scorching wind from the barren heights in the desert blows towards my people, but not to winnow or cleanse. A wind too strong for that comes from me. Now I pronounce my judgments against them. My people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. They are skilled in doing evil. They know not how to do good. I looked at the earth, and it was formless and empty, and at the heavens, and their light was gone. I looked at the mountains, and they were quaking. All the hills were swaying. I looked, and there were no people. Every bird in the sky had flown away. I looked, and the fruitful land was a desert. All its towns lay in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. This is what the Lord says: the whole land will be ruined, though I will not destroy it completely. Therefore the earth will mourn, and the heavens above grow dark, because I have spoken and will not relent. I have decided and will not turn back." May our sacred story help us as Knox St. Paul's United Church to hear God's continuing call to us, setting you up in public ministry so that my presence through you becomes known to all who journey alone.
Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be inspired by you, Holy God. Amen. Let me tell you about one of my favorite places in the whole world. It's tucked away in the southwest corner of Alberta. It's a spot called Waterton Lakes National Park. Now, usually when you go to Alberta and folks hear that you're going to Alberta, they say, you have to go to Banff. And Banff is beautiful. But for me, Waterton is better. It's one of those rare places where the wide open prairie collides with the Rocky Mountains without any foothills in between. And when we lived out there, when I was younger, I hiked those trails with my parents, with family when they came out to visit, with my friends when I got older and was able to drive there. I spent a summer as a camp counselor there, and so I was able to hike most of those trails. I walked on land where the top of the mountain was once a seafloor, and there were fossils there still bearing witness to that. I knew where there was a waterfall that doubled as a water slide, and that was a lot of fun. It was a place for me where connecting with God, well, it still is a place where connecting with God comes naturally. 8 years ago, a massive wildfire ripped through that park, ripped through a lot of the area around it too. It devastated the park. Somehow, it spared the town site and a few spots here and there, but for the most part, everything burned. 7 years ago, my mom, my son, and I were able to go and visit, but a lot of the side roads, the mountain passes, were closed, and so we couldn't get to many more places than the town site. We saw a little bit of the devastation, but not the whole thing. This summer, my son and I returned when we were out in Alberta. Some of the trails were still shut down, but we drove the passes and we walked some easy paths. There were caution signs around, bring double the water than you usually need to bring, because there's no trees and no shade. I went, oh, that's not something that I had connected. I thought I knew what I would see, but nothing prepared me for the devastation. Hillsides that were once covered in green were now filled with skeletal trees, standing like blackened bones. The forest floor was scorched, and streams that once trickled into waterfalls down the mountainside had dried up. A snowpack that never melted in the summer had shrunk dramatically. And the wildlife that you could almost always find in the town site and at a couple parking lots, usually mountain sheep, you could find them, they were nowhere to be found. Didn't even see as many deer as we used to. Even the smell was different. Stripped of wildflowers and moss and trees, it didn't smell as sweet. At one point while we were driving, I looked over at my son, and he was glued to his tablet the way I probably was glued to a book when I was his age. But I said, you should look around. Look up. You don't get to see this view every day. And his response to me was, Mom, why would I? It's all dead trees. It's depressing. He wasn't wrong. It was jarring to look out at the devastation where I remembered such vibrancy. And I wonder if that's something like what Jeremiah felt. Our reading from Jeremiah speaks from a landscape of ruin, and we don't know whether Jeremiah is foretelling what will come, prophesying, or retelling, describing what has already happened. The timing on this scripture is fuzzy. We don't know when it was written, but we do know that the land of Judah was torn apart by waves of empires. Assyria first, and then Babylon, towns reduced to rubble, crops destroyed, families scattered or hauled off into exile. Naturally, people died. The devastation wasn't abstract. It was lived trauma. And if we're looking for a modern-day comparison, maybe we need to think less about burned-out forests and more about Gaza. Once thriving neighborhoods reduced to rubble, scarcity everywhere, humanitarian aid blocked, and famine and violence tearing lives apart. That's the scale of desolation that Jeremiah evokes. And devastation isn't hard to find in our lives, is it? Whether it's war or wildfire, pandemic or climate crisis, illness or personal tragedy, there are times in our lives when all we can see are ashes. So what do we do when all around us is devastation? Even in this passage from Jeremiah, hope is thin. Like I mentioned with the time for the young at heart, to find it, you practically need a magnifying glass. But it's there. It's tucked into God's words. When God says, the whole land will be ruined, that's not the hopeful part. The next part is, though I will not destroy it completely. It doesn't sound very hopeful, though. It's not a booming trumpet blast of good news. It's more like a fraying thread that you cling to when everything else is gone. It's not completely destroyed. It's not the end of all things. Let's pause for a second for a hard truth. It's that Jeremiah believed that this destruction was God's doing. God's judgment for the people's unfaithfulness and violence. God's unwavering commitment to the covenant made with God's people, to the point that God would not let evil triumph over the covenant. And the consequence was devastation for the people. And that's how Jeremiah made sense of it. As a people who follow Christ, we wrestle with that. We proclaim a God of love who does not cause destruction, who does not destroy us or punish us in that way, but who brings life even out of the worst devastation. And yet, Scripture like Jeremiah's sits right there in front of us, insisting otherwise. And there's no easy resolution. It's one of those tensions of our faith, learning to hold both the ancient witness and our conviction about God's love, even when they don't line up neatly. But here is the hope Jeremiah does point to. God insists that this devastation is not the final word, and new life is still possible. Restoration can come, but not quickly, and not without a lot of work. The truth is, sometimes it's far too early to talk about rebuilding. We think again about Gaza or the worsening climate crisis, still in the middle of devastation. Jeremiah's words remind us sometimes all we can do is lament. Sometimes all we can do is cry it out and rage and ask why and know that God's shoulders are big enough and broad enough to bear it all. And then, when the danger has passed, we reach that point where lament and grief begins to meet hope, along with the pressing needs of the present, and the work of rebuilding begins. And that work is never about returning things to the ways they used to be, because nothing is ever the same after devastation like that. The landscape has changed completely. But it is about new life. And that brings me back to Waterton and my son's words of, why would I look up? It's all dead trees. And he was right. And he was wrong. As we drove through the mountain pass, I found myself looking closer after that comment. And absolutely, there were charred trunks everywhere. But there was more. There were tiny green plants creeping up. There were young trees pushing through, species that only sprout because their cones require a fire's heat to open. Those trees wouldn't otherwise be there if that fire hadn't gone through. 8 years later, those trees were maybe about waist high. They were up on the side of the mountain. I was in a pass, and I was not about to stop and measure, and we had just seen a bear on that road, so there was no stopping. But my guess is they were about waist high. It's going to be decades before they're high enough, tall enough to cast shade for hikers or offer shelter for wildlife. But the beginnings are there. And as much as it is a national park, there are people who are helping too. Removing invasive plants that are carried on in boots. Collecting and sowing seeds from native wildflowers. Slowly and carefully, that land is healing. And there's more still. Because of this wildfire, the forest floor became like an open archaeological site. Artifacts surfaced, tools and bones, evidence that the Blackfoot people of the land not only held ceremonies there, but also lived there. I grew up hearing that this was a place where the Blackfoot people would come for ceremonies, and it was their special and sacred place, and that was it. Settler history and colonizing forces had erased the truth, insisting that the land was empty or at least rarely used before colonization. But the fire uncovered what had been hidden, forcing us to rewrite history to restore the first peoples back into their rightful place in the narrative. That particular devastation created space for truth-telling. And that's a different kind of restoration. So what do we do when devastation reigns and when all we see are dead trees? Well, first we lament. We weep and we rage and refuse to pretend that things are fine. Because they're not. When we're honest, it's a way of connecting with God, and it is holy. But when the time comes, we shift our gaze. We take a closer look. We ask, where's new life beginning to take root? It might be tiny and fragile and hard to notice. It might require a magnifying glass. But even the smallest signs of growth are sacred. And then we share in God's work. We tend those fragile shoots, be they literal plants growing or the more metaphorical kind. We tell truer stories, and we build spaces where all can thrive, where all feel like they belong. Jeremiah's words are not easy ones. They don't give us quick comfort, but they do remind us that devastation is never the last word. So may we lament honestly. May we dare to look a little bit closer. May we join God in nurturing the tender beginnings of hope until one day the shade returns and streams flow again and the land and our lives and our communities can flourish. May it be so. I invite us to turn to our next song, Let My Spirit Always Sing. And so this is our time for faith sharing or for silent meditation if we have no one wanting to share a story. But it's a time when you're welcome to come and share a story of where you've seen God at work in the world, how you've seen the church, our community of faith, or maybe another, living out our faith. Maybe connected to today's sermon, where you've noticed hope breaking through in your life or in this world? Or something about the scriptures I've spoken to you. This is a time when you're welcome to come and share, and if no one does, we'll sit quietly and let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Well, friends, part of the work that we do in helping to build a city where no one journeys alone is we join our work with where we believe God is calling us to build community, to bring healing and hope. And we know that takes resources, our time, our energy, our effort, our finances. And so this is a time when we give thanks for all that we give and ask God to bless it. Let's present our offering. Let's pray. Generous and loving God, in your name we dedicate these gifts for the work of your kingdom in this place. There is much to be done to restore your creation and to rectify injustice in this world. So with grateful hearts, we pledge to share as we are able our time, our abilities, and our finances where they're needed. Bless the gifts we offer today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Let's open our hearts and our minds in prayer. God of all creation, you journey with your people through fire and flood, wilderness and exile, and you journey with us still. We bring before you the places where devastation feels overwhelming, lands scarred by war and violence, forests burned and rivers dried by climate change, communities struggling with poverty, addiction, and despair, and ongoing hatred creating an ever-deepening divide. We lift up all who grieve, people mourning loved ones, folks who have lost homes or livelihoods, all who feel abandoned or hopeless. We ask that you surround them with your comfort. We give thanks for places where new life is already pushing through the ashes, where communities are rebuilding and truths are being told at long last, and the efforts that are ongoing to protect and restore creation. Bless these beginnings and help us join in that work of hope. We pray for our own community, for the stones that we just brought forward which carry our prayers, for all who are sick or weary, for children who are growing and learning, for elders who carry wisdom, for all who gather here, present in this space, online, or in spirit. Renew our strength, O God, and guide us in your way of love. We pray through Jesus the Christ, the one who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to join in our final hymn, Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
this time of worship, I invite you to go into the world watching for signs of hope, trusting that devastation is never the final word. And may the God who restores, the Christ who journeys with us, and the Holy Spirit who brings life bless you and keep you, now and always.